Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. We are now in season 4 of our show with over 1,300 videos that are viewed and heard all over the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior tech leader turned author from Singapore, Aliza Knox. Aliza, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Ashutosh. I'm so thrilled to be here. You've had so many episodes. I'm just delighted to be in the latest one.
Thank you. Aliza is an author, and all of you know I'm very, very partial to authors. She's an author of a book titled Don't Quit Your Day Job, 6 Mind Shifts to Rise and Thrive at Work. She was nominated as the IT Woman of the Year Asia in 2020. She's been in the top 100 women in tech in Singapore. She was also given the Singapore International Businesswoman of the Year in 2015. And given all the background of technology, understandably, she's worked with Google, Twitter, and Cloudflare. Aliza, after such an amazing technology journey, let me first come to your book, which we can see behind you. Before I ask you about your book, is this book available on Amazon?
It is available on Amazon, yes. Okay.
So I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Aliza's book, and I will go and check it out myself. So Aliza, tell me about your book and what was your motivation and what was your hypothesis when you wrote it?
My motivation was based on the fact that because I've been in tech, because I'm a woman, because I'm in sales, I guess, a lot of people come to talk to me when they're at some kind of turning point in their careers or when they're frustrated or concerned. And so I spent a lot of time having coffee with people to talk about these issues. And what I find is, first of all, you should know I don't like coffee.
Right.
I've learned to drink it like a decaf latte, very little coffee. And second of all, as we all know, there's still only 24 hours in a day, except for the days I fly to the US, but then I lose those on the back end. And I can't spend them all having coffee for people. And if there's with people, and if there's one thing I learned in tech, it's that you have to be scalable, right?
Correct.
So I thought, how can I scale what I'm doing in terms of talking to people? And I thought maybe I'll write it down, because if I write it down, people can read it. They can, you know, understand it. And really the book is these mind shifts. Each one has a number of power perspectives and some pragmatic takeaways, action steps. But it is mostly the stories of other people. I think there are about 36, maybe a few more stories in there, mostly of people I know and have worked with to illustrate the examples. And the idea is that they should resonate with the readers. I think people range in age from like 20 to 62. They are all genders, lots of nationalities, different professions. And so the idea is that it's relatable for most people, and they can get some of the mentoring that they might have gotten or advice or opinions from me that they would have gotten over the coffee that I don't like.
Fascinating. And, you know, I was reading a summary of your book. I haven't had a chance to read the full book, but you talk of 6 mind shifts to rise and thrive at work. I know we may not have enough time, but tell me about some of these that you think are more important, and then we can carry on with the conversation.
I'd love to. So first of all, you know, asking me which ones are more important is like saying which child you love most.
I agree.
I can't do that.
Absolutely.
And before we start, I do want to say that although the book is called Don't Quit Your Day Job, it doesn't mean never quit. I, in fact, quit my day job about a year and a half ago. So it's kind of a good title for the times that we're in. But it's really about the fact that a lot of times when people find things they are unhappy about and they think that they're going to solve it by quitting their job, that's not really what's going on. And it's about how to make the most of your life and your work when you're in the corporate or the working world. Sometimes people do things. I don't know if you've had Amy Cuddy on or people read her. She's a social psychologist and Harvard lecturer who talks a lot about body positions and things like that. And she was quoted, you know, in this period of the Great Resignation, of saying a lot of people left their jobs because it was this brief moment of making themselves feel powerful. And mm-hmm. sometimes that's why we quit. And it's a great rush, but it isn't necessarily the right thing for the person. Mm. And so that's the title. So you're right. The mind shifts are far more important to me than actually the missive, you know, don't quit.
Correct. Correct.
So here are a couple. Mm-hmm. Mind shift two is all about stamina. Mm-hmm. Stamina is a muscle. Build yours. Mm-hmm. I'm personally working on building these muscles. Mm-hmm. They're not getting big fast enough, so I gotta work on stamina more. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a little equation. I think I'm the first person to come up with it. I don't mm-hmm. think it's going to be as famous as E equals MC squared, okay. but it's stamina is perseverance plus enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And I really believe it's a superpower. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. I met a young woman at a tech firm.
Yeah.
I called her Barbara in the book because in this case, some of the people are disclosed, some are not.
Yeah.
She was in her mid to late 20s. It was a startup that was getting bigger. Mm-hmm. She said, I want to talk to you. I have to leave. I've mm-hmm. got to leave this firm. I've been head of sales and now they're layering me over. Mm-hmm. They're bringing in another head of sales. I'm only going to be part of it. I've been doing this for 4 years. This is demeaning. It's demoralizing. It's an insult. I'm not going to learn anymore. I've got to go. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, can you help me get a new job? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, as it happens, I know the person who's coming in over you. Mm-hmm. And I knew him from a different tech firm. Mm-hmm. And he's really good. And he's known for being great at developing people, mm-hmm. caring about his staff, and also really being able to drive business. Mm-hmm. And it might be worth it for you to just stick it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. You can always decide to leave mm-hmm. and see if you get something out of working for him.
Right.
I'm sure it was not based only on my advice, but she did decide to hang in there mm-hmm. to kind of exercise some stamina. And it's not just grit. I think she did grit her teeth, so to speak, but, you know, to just try. And I'm happy to report that she got two promotions while working for him. Mm-hmm. One was while she was out on maternity leave, which should not be anything worth talking about. But unfortunately, I think it's still not usual these days. Mm-hmm. She did eventually leave that firm, and she is now the chief revenue officer at a Series C or Series D funded tech mm-hmm. firm. And I don't think she would be in the role that she has today if she hadn't had the stamina to stay and work for this man. Mm. She learned a lot from him. I think instead she would have gone to another smaller startup and she might have been head of sales again, but I'm not sure she would have progressed. Mm. And she herself, looking back, says she learned a lot. Mm. So that's just one aspect of stamina. I talk mm-hmm. about a lot of them. And, you know, things that you can do to create stamina for yourself mm-hmm. are, one, making sure that you have time for some things that you like. Mm-hmm. People need things that give them energy. It could be your family. It could be knitting.
Yeah.
Lots of different things for different people. Some are within work. Many are outside. I think the one that's most commonly known, although many of us fail to do, is to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, Arianna Huffington writes about that a lot, but it's mm-hmm. pretty much proven that you have more stamina if you sleep. And for people maybe in your and my categories, Ashutosh, I don't want to tar you with the same brush, but I am getting older.
No, I'm 65, so I am old, not getting older. But
okay, well, you're a little ahead of me, but okay. They're now saying that lack of sleep seems to be linked to dementia.
Correct.
Which I definitely don't want to have. So, you know, that's an important part of stamina too. But there's lots of different examples in the book, different kinds of people really kept up their stamina.
Very interesting. And let's take one more mind shift.
One more? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll do one. If we have time, we'll get to two. So another one is mind shift three, connection trumps tech savvy, correct, even in tech. Mm-hmm. And I might be going out of fashion. I just came from a global conference about the metaverse mm-hmm. and everything taking place in virtual reality.
Correct.
But even within that, I think there are still human relationships. And human relationships are really critical, whether we meet in virtual reality or in person. And I'm going to tell you why. So there's an example in the book of a woman named Susie Nicoletti, who's a real person, who was at Google, then ran Twitter, Australia, New Zealand, and is now running a startup called Yotpo in Asia. She missed out on a promotion at Google, and she didn't know why. And she happened to know somebody who was older and had been in sales. And that person said to her, you know, I think you're really good at your job. And I know that you care about your team and you like what you're doing, you know, the people around you, but you never seem to talk about your colleagues. You seem to talk about your clients, which is great because everybody knows clients come first. And you talk about all these exciting revenue wins and sales, but you don't talk about the team. And if I were your boss, I might be a bit worried that if I promote you to a manager, it's going to be all about you and not about your team. Like, I personally don't think that's true. Well, I'm wondering if that's what your boss thinks. And Susie took that on board and started thinking more about the way she spoke about her team, because she was already working with them. And she actually did get promoted on the next round. And it was indeed part of what had been hindering the promotion. And so that's part of what I talk about as a big action step, which is creating a personal board of directors. If you want to look it up, there's certainly a lot about it in the book, and there's six steps. I've also written an article about it for Forbes, but it's something I didn't do till a lot later in life. I don't know if you had the prescience to do it, Ashutosh, but to really think about, corporates have boards of directors.
Correct.
There are different people with different perspectives to help guide the company. Why shouldn't individuals have that? We talk about mentors who might give us a little bit of advice, and we talk about sponsors, somebody in a company who might really advocate for us. But that puts a lot of pressure on that one person. Why don't we come up with a way? They don't have to meet like a real board of directors. They don't even have to know you're on, they're on your board, but maybe five or six people you think about going to. Correct. Maybe I go to you because you've written eight books. I've only written one. I want to know how to do more. Maybe I go to a senior person from Singapore Inc. who knows a lot about boards here because I've only been on one or two, and maybe I can learn some stuff about how to better operate within them. Maybe I talk to somebody who's younger, who's a digital native, that really helps me understand even better, even though I've been in social media companies, how to keep up with Web 3.0. And so I can make an amalgam of different perspectives that help me get insights in advance instead of just looking for one person to do it. So I really think that connection trumps tech savvy. Making those personal relationships matters, helps you get things done. And in particular, thinking about those as one part of it to create a personal board of directors.
It's amazing. And I'm so happy you pointed out this personal board of directors, because you're absolutely right. I mean, I've done this all my life. Go to people senior, go to people younger. And in the brand called You, you know, I have a very, very young team, and I always tell them, I said, why don't you reverse mentor me on technology? And so you're absolutely right. And I think it's, that could be the subject of your next book. You know? So, but moving on, Aliza, when I was reading about you, you also talk about four questions to ask yourself when you are at a crossroad.
Well, I haven't memorized the four questions, so you might have to remind me what they are. But I do think the two most important things to ask, I'll boil it down for your listeners, because I want them to be able to take away, and four is too many. One is, what are my priorities? So in the book, I tell a story about a young man named Ning Fei, who wanted to do, he wanted to move from public sector to private sector, and from a comms role to a product role, and the industry he was in to clean energy, and he wanted to move from Singapore to the US. And I think there was one other move, and he is really smart and he's a great guy. And I said, you know, and he was worried. He said, you know, I'm not getting any offers. And I said, listen, that's because you're trying to make too many moves at once. It's not that you're not smart, but a manager wants to de-risk. They want to hire somebody who's they think can do the job. And so maybe they'll take a risk on one part. Maybe they'll move you from one country to another or one company or one role. But five is too many. And that with as in many things, you need to prioritize. What is most important to you? Mm-hmm. Is it moving to this other city? Is it getting promoted? Is it learning, which you might get by a lateral move, which I think people are doing much more these days, because as you and I both know, when we started working, you know, 5 years was probably the minimum that anybody considered acceptable
Correct.
At a company. And now every 2 years or every 18 months, you know, it's not a problem. People don't think you use a job hopper.
Mm.
I think the second question that people really need to ask themselves is this a one-way door? Mm-hmm. Many companies ask this internally now,
correct.
Which means, is it a decision I can't come back from? Mm. If it is, maybe you obsess about it longer. Mm. Maybe you do risk kind of paralysis by analysis. But I find that so many decisions are not one-way doors.
Mm.
People are going back to companies they left during the Great Resignation. People are going back to careers they thought they didn't want to participate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I left the Boston Consulting Group as the partner running financial services for Asia because I wanted to try being an operator, which was great, but I loved the firm.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get the responsibilities and the experience I wanted, but now I've been able to come back as a senior advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are lots of times that it isn't a one-way door. You can change, you can move. And so I think if you're at a crossroads and it's not a one-way door, take the plunge, experiment.
Very
you know, best. Technologies test and iterate. So you can do that with your career too.
Wonderful, wonderful. Moving on, you know, yesterday I was speaking to someone who is a specialist in the gig economy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was talking to him, I thought about your book, which is Don't Quit Your Day Job and, you know, keep building a career, I'm assuming. I wanted to ask you, how does the gig economy impact careers? Because now everyone wants, as you mentioned, you know, 18 months, maybe lesser, double income, triple income, or treble income, you know, trebling your income from multiple sources. What are your thoughts on that?
So let me, I know they're not the same thing, but I'm going to take the gig economy and kind of new remote work or work from home together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the positives about them are that you have much more flexibility.
Correct.
Right? And everyone's talking about how Gen Z wants, or Gen Z wants more flexibility, is reevaluating life and work and how to make it all work together.
Mm.
I'm not sure how much that will last if we really do have a big recession. I think it has been easier to have that kind of freedom when it's relatively easy to make an income.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the downside for some of these are, if you want to be promoted within a company, if you want to rise, and not everybody does, and I don't think you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are motivated by just new learning. Some people are motivated by their outside roles. One of the issues with remote work and gig economy is that you're less visible.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been lots of studies done on this. I think Stanford did a study at C-Trip 10 years ago, so maybe it's too long ago. But there were definitely issues that people who didn't come in and were less visible had fewer promotions and lower pay. And we definitely would not want to see that out of today's world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful that that will not happen because, you know, Zoom is much more prevalent, or any kind of video conference. Not to use a brand.
Mm.
And that may not happen, but I think there is still some risk around that.
Mm.
So I think the gig economy, at least in some portion, is here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it'll be interesting to see what plays out over the next few years if we have a serious recession, and whether people are still as keen to do that, or whether we get a return maybe to some safety of a more standard job.
Very interesting. And a follow-up question, Aliza, for you would be that, you know, when I joined a company when I was 21, 43, 44 years ago, there was always a career and, you know, aspiration to move to get a promotion, get to the corner office, et cetera, et cetera. In today's world, from a corporate perspective, with so many gig workers and white collar people wanting to do gig kind of work, what happens to succession? What happens to leadership?
You know, that's an interesting question. I haven't seen it as an issue yet. I don't think the proportion is so high
right.
that we're not getting succession.
Mm-hmm.
I think the challenge is that we are getting more resignations and more change.
Correct.
And the great resignation in some sense, whether it's the great reshuffle or the great reprioritization, mm-hmm. is a thing. And so it's harder for companies to retain maybe their best people.
Yep.
And you want to have that pool of people for succession, as you say.
Correct.
So I do think, you know, companies are having to make more changes to keep the people that they want. And I think that leads to one of the most important points for companies always, which is to really keep their eye on the individuals they want to keep. You've probably seen, you know, because I've come from tech, and you may have been watching tech as well, we're starting to see a number of layoffs in tech firms that have been very bold about hiring and have been growing quickly. And I think the most important thing for those leaders to remember as they deal, I think many of them have dealt very appropriately, not all, but very empathetically with the people that they are laying off.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing is to remember to message the people that they are not laying off.
Correct.
To say, you're important to me. I've kept you for a reason. You've got a long-term career here. Here's what I see in your career. So that those people stay as the basis for the succession that you're talking about.
Fascinating, fascinating. So Aliza, I've got time for two more questions. And this is, you know, my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. So my next question to you is, as someone who's been such a senior, not just a global tech leader, but you mentioned you were a partner with BCG as well. What would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Okay, well, so that's a fair question, but you have to kind of take getting married and kids out of
absolutely.
That because I would
absolutely.
Be if I didn't talk about my family whom I love. But I would say without that, here are my three milestones. One, making partner BCG. That was a big deal to me. It meant a lot to me. And I really, it's a great firm.
Mm-hmm.
Two, being able to switch to tech very late in life. It was in my mid to late 40s and really being able to learn a whole new industry, new challenges. And three, I guess part of what's behind this book, I have two children in their early 20s and they really respect me, which I find amazing. I didn't know that they would, like my business part of me, and they asked me for advice. But to me, the biggest milestone is that they have asked me to coach their friends. So whenever a friend says to them, I have this business problem or I have a challenge with my boss, they call me, they tell the friend, you need to speak to my mom.
Wonderful.
And then I do, again, another like coffee or Zoom mentoring with them. And to me, that's really meaningful that those two parts of my life have crossed and that I've earned that sort of respect for my kids.
Wonderful, wonderful. And my last question to you, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. What would your advice be to a young individual starting off on her or his journey in the corporate world?
I got three bits of advice. One, set up a personal board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
It's never too early. It can change over time. You don't have to keep the board forever. And if you look at corporate boards, in fact, they transition over time. Two, hang in there. In many cases, don't quit your day job. This is the stamina piece.
Yeah.
Often what's troubling you is only a blip.
Mm.
And if you think it's not, go back to number one, talk to your board of directors. Mm. And three, movement is great and energizing. So sometimes you will quit your day job. But remember, you can probably only do one move at a time to make it work.
Amazing. Amazing. Aliza, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about Don't Quit Your Day Job, your book, which is talks about six mind shifts to rise and thrive at work. Thank you for giving me a new definition of stamina, which is perseverance plus enthusiasm. And I think that's something I take away, which is an important factor from our conversation. Thank you for also talking to me about the personal board of directors and how critical it is. And I think from what you have spoken about, I think the earlier every individual sets up a personal board of directors or a personal group of mentors, etc., the better it will be for them. And finally, Thank you again for all your thoughts on the great resignation, on the gig economy, and about your amazing journey. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you very much for being a role model for me in both writing and podcasting and the brand called You.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.